In John 19, 25 through 27, if you have your Bibles, Vern has graciously put it on the screen here. This is standing by the cross of Jesus where his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. Heavenly Father, guide my words this morning. Lord, let our ears be opened and our hearts be warmed by the presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, let us learn from your word today. Let us be encouraged when we leave here. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this is the third saying of Jesus as he hung on the cross, and a crowd has gathered near the cross to watch, and among the crowd was Mary, the mother of Jesus. And when Jesus saw his mother, he said to her, "Woman, behold your son." You know, that's, as we consider this particular statement, it's interesting to me that the first three of Christ's sayings regarded the needs of others. The first was a prayer of forgiveness when he said, "Father, forgive them," thinking of his enemies. The second, a promise of redemption when he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise," thinking of the criminal by his side. The third, a word of provision for his mother when he said, "Woman, behold your son," thinking of his mother. Jesus died as he lived, thinking of others. A guy by the name of A.W. Pink once wrote this: "The Lord Jesus was dying as a Savior for sinners, and he was engaged in the most monumentous and the most stupendous undertaking that this earth has ever witnessed. Nevertheless, he does not overlook the responsibilities of the natural life. He fails not to make provision for her, who according to the flesh was his mother." Thinking of others. You know, thinking about that, we know that family ties are important. There's nothing wrong. We talk about this sometimes and it kind of sneaks up on you. There's nothing wrong with growing old, and that's a natural course of our life. It's going to happen to all of us. Amen. Let me tell you. You know, if we live long enough, it's going to happen. But it's one of those things we just don't think about when you're young, until one day you look in the mirror and you're like, bam, it's right in your face. There's gray hairs, and you know, or you know, when you and your son are going to soccer or something, and a lady rolls down the window and says, "Is that your grandson?" That happened to me, by the way, with Jacob. I was like, "No, it's not my grandson. How old do you think I am?" Or I get a senior discount. Yeah, that happened too. Which I'm okay with that. That doesn't bother me as much. You know? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Or when, you know, when primetimers, you know, announce that they're having primetime and they say the age for primetimers is 55 and up, and you're like, "Wait a second, I'm 55. Yeah. I mean, you know, it just sneaks up on you, doesn't it, is what I'm saying. Some people feel really good this morning. Yeah. What I'm trying to say is it just sneaks up on you, okay? But here in this story, you know, we get back to the story. I was getting off the bushes here. You know, we find that Mary's older. The years have passed, and Jesus has grown up, and he's a man now. And we don't know really how old Mary was. We could guess that maybe she was in her late 40s. And, we don't know for sure, but one thing's for sure, she's not a young teenage girl anymore. And Mary stands at the foot of the cross with two other women, and all of them named Mary. I don't know why that must have been a popular name at that time. John the Apostle was there too, and on the cross is Jesus. And at this point that Jesus says this, "Woman, behold your son." It's like, take a look at me. You remember all the stories. You remember what the angel told you when all this started. You remember it now. Remember this. Behold me now. We watched as she watched as they beat him. She watched as they walked by and slapped him and cursed him and spit on him. And she saw her son being tortured and she couldn't help him at all. She witnessed all this. She could do nothing about it. And, you know, I wonder, how much could a mother take? That had to be horrific to watch and bear. How much can a mother stand to see? Yet Jesus said, "Woman, behold your son." But there was more to it. We see this dying Savior. And at first, it really, when you read this, it's kind of puzzling why he would say that, make that statement. But he had she not seen enough? I mean, really, of the brutality. And he's like, "Look at me now, Mom." She's watching, and his life was slowly coming to an end. Yet maybe, just maybe, Jesus wanted her to see more. Maybe he wanted her to look at the cross. He knew why he was there, and he knew the significance of his crucifixion, and maybe he wanted her to know it too. He wanted to remind her of why he was there, to look beyond the brutality and see the cross. I think Jesus wanted her to see him more than just her son, but her Savior. She was highly favored of the Lord, and she was privileged above all women who ever lived, in that she was chosen to bear the Messiah. But Mary was just an ordinary woman, just like all humanity. She too needed a Savior. She too needed to believe upon the power of the cross. We sing about the power of the cross in this song that we sang earlier by Isaac Watts. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart were rolled away, and it was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. Amen. I think about that happy all the day. And I think that, you know, I heard a lady say something about she sees too many Christians dipped in vinegar and scalded in boiling water. It's like that's what they look like all the time, like they're just suffering. But yet we sing, "We're happy all the day." I don't want to ever look like that. Sometimes I feel that way. Sometimes we get beat up by life, and sometimes life gets us down and we're discouraged, and that's just what Satan likes. He wants us to not look at the cross. He wants us to look at the brutality of this world. And when we start looking at the brutality of this world and what this world is capable of, the evils that this world is capable of, and And Jesus says, you got to look beyond that and look at the cross. That was his desire then, and that's his desire today. Jesus wants every man and every woman and child to behold the Son. He wants them to look to the cross and to the precious blood that was shed. And he wants us to all come in faith, believing on him as their personal Savior. That's what he wants. He wants everyone to realize that apart from him, there is no hope. He is the only way. If we are to be saved and reconciled to God, we must come by the way of the cross. We have to look beyond the brutality of this world and see the cross. Look at the hope that is offered to you and I through Christ our Lord. Behold the Son of God that has taken away the sins of the world. Look at him. He died for Mary. He died for all of us. And just like he said to John, take care of her while I'm gone. He's going to take care of you and I too. Yes, he was a dying son, but there's another element in this story. And Jesus was dying and he was leaving behind his mother and he was despised and rejected, but he didn't want her to feel that way too. He wants her to feel loved, and that's what he wants from us. He wants that for us. He wants you to feel not rejection. He wants you to feel love. He doesn't want unbelievers outside the church to feel rejection either. He wants them to feel loved. He wants us as his children to show that love to people so they can understand what Christ is all about, why he died. He wants Mary to, he wants his mother to be cared for. And he wanted somebody to take care of her. Somebody that would see to her needs. And Jesus there, he's looking down from the cross and he sees his mother Mary and he sees John standing next to her. And he cries out from the cross, woman, mom, behold your son. You know what's going on. I'm reminding you of that. And he says to John, now behold your mother. And the Bible says there, from that hour, the disciple, John, he took her into his own household. You know, here Jesus was saying to his mother, mom, I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you now, and I'm not going to be able to take care of you anymore. Mom, there's nothing else I can do for you here. But you see, John's going to take care of you. He's going to take my place and he's going to care for you and he'll be the son that you need here. He'll take care of you. And John, you see my mother. Now you take care of her while I'm gone and do for her what just like I would do for her here. And he does that. Isn't that wonderful? From that hour on, the disciple took her into his household. We see here that family ties are important. Family ties are important. Families are about relationships, and families are a mixed group of people nowadays for sure. We have blended families, and we have bonded families. We have family members by blood, and family members by marriage, and family members by adoption. We got all kinds of family member situations. We're all a family. Amen? Amen. We may not like the same football team or hold the same political views at times, yet we are still a family. Dysfunctional, but a family. We may not have the same personalities, but we're still a family. Families are important. You know, I've often heard you can choose your friends, but you don't choose your family. You know, you're just born into it, right? Families are about obligations, though. And how many of you have heard the statement, blood is thicker than water? That statement is about obligation. It means that if we're related, I'm going to stick by you. I'm going to take care of you no matter what. I think, man, shouldn't we be that way as a church? Yes. Amen?
Amen.
We say we're a product, we're the family of God. That means we stick it out together. We stand by each other no matter what. You may tick me off, but guess what? You're still my family and I still love you.
Amen.
I forgive you. That's what we do, right?
Yeah.
We ain't perfect. But we serve a perfect, loving Savior. That's the statement about obligations. It means so much more than I think what most people understand. Jesus loved his mother deeply, and even in his dying moments, he was concerned about her physical well-being. And he was not going to leave her uncared for. He does the same for us. He told his disciples, you know where I go, you can't go with me. But I'm going to leave you a comforter. I'm going to leave you a helper. I'm going to leave you somebody that's going to take care of you.
Amen.
We believe that today. Amen. In the darkest of our nights, in the deepest valleys that we walk, isn't it wonderful to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit right there with you?
Amen.
I know many of us have dealt with terrible physical ailments. But I remember laying in the hospital bed with no worries at all, because I knew the Holy Spirit was right there with me. Without that, I would be miserable. Families are about love. And taking care of others sometimes is not easy. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes it's inconvenient. Like yesterday. I won't tell the story. I got to tell it. You know, things sometimes happen at the most inconvenient times. I'll just say that. But we do it because we love each other, don't we? John 3:16, we're all familiar with that. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that who shall ever believes in Him will have eternal life. I love that. But 1 John 3:16 says this, we know love by this, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. That's obligation to family, is it not? This verse really shows us how much we are to love others. And that includes our families too. So let's pray for each other. Let's help each other out. Let's love our neighbors.
Yes.
We love God, and we love each other, and we love our neighbors as ourselves. Those are the greatest commands that Jesus, the greatest words Jesus ever gave, right there. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace and the love that you've bestowed upon each and every one of us. It's a love that we can't hardly comprehend. So, Lord, I pray for each person that's here this morning, those that are on Zoom this morning that couldn't be here. I pray for those that are sick. They are our friends. They are our family. Lord, let us show that love in this world, our communities that we live in. I pray all these things in your name. Amen.